Today is July 16th. Traditionally, if the day doesn't fall on a Sunday, we celebrate the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And in that vein, I would like to wish to the Carmelite sisters that are here today a blessed feast day. It gets preempted by the resurrection of Christ, which is a good thing. But certainly to the Carmelite sisters that are with us today, we wish you a blessed feast day. And as we come to the end of our time together, first, I want to take a moment to acknowledge our priests that have been with us during this weekend and to thank you for the gift of your priesthood, especially in giving their time for confessions and in spending time with all of us. Thank you, fathers, for being here. In that same vein also, I wish to thank all of our religious sisters and the brothers and our deacons and seminarians, many of them who have been working behind the scenes, making sure that everything runs so well. And so to you, thank you for the gift of your time here as well. To the staff of Franciscan University and the Steubenville Midwest, our musicians and all of those who are on the soundboards or in the back giving directions, and especially the musicians and the Office of Youth from the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Without your commitment, this weekend simply would not happen, and we are so grateful for your support as well. And I think we would all agree, I've saved the best for last. To our youth ministers in our parishes, to all the volunteers, to all the chaperones that have come, you are the unsung heroes. You are the ones giving witness to our youth. You're walking with them. You are their mentors. And on behalf of the bishops of all the dioceses that are represented here, I thank you for your work in the church. Now, all of these groups that I've just mentioned and all the organizations that help support this effort, they're all here for you, our young people, the youth of our church. And as I look out at all of you, I hope you realize that you are loved by so many people. You are not alone. We walk with you. We need you. We love you. And the church is here for you. I hope our young people, if nothing else, you walk away and know that the church wants to walk with you in the journey of life. And today's gospel is one of the best gospels that we could have to end our time together. Because today's gospel describes each one of you in some way. You're going to go back home to people who have not had this experience. You'll soon be back in school. And people might ask you, "What'd you do this summer?" And if you start to explain to them what you encountered here at this Steubenville experience, they're going to look at you and like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." Some of you, you have classmates already who have already declared themselves to be atheists, and they have absolutely no interest in religion or what you have to say about it. You need to be ready when you go back home. It might be a family member who's already turned against the church, or a classmate, or a teacher. You never know. You need to be ready for the reactions of people when you want to share with them what has happened here, your experience, your encounter with Christ, because they're not going to understand, and they're going to want to pull you down. And you better be ready for it. You're all pumped up from this weekend, this encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist and in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Over 2,400 of you went to confession over this weekend, thanks to our priests. You've heard encouraging messages from some great speakers, and now you're on fire, hopefully, and you're going to come home maybe to people who just don't care. That's the reality of life. The problems that you had before you came to this weekend, they're waiting for you back at home, for many of you. And the question is, will your faith, your newfound faith, or this faith that you've been struggling with, or the faith that you're trying to embrace, will your faith survive it all? Is it going to be choked out and withered away within the next couple of weeks, or is it going to bear fruit? Because, you know, again, people are going to want to pull you down. They may not say it outwardly, but that's the message that they will give to you. They don't care, and they don't want to hear about it. Our theme for this weekend has been Elevate. The scripture verse chosen for that from Revelation reminds us that God wants to work in our lives, behold, to make all things new for each one of us. God has prepared something for each one of us. And we don't have to go back and fall into the same old sinful habits. We have been made for something better, something greater, a more noble way of living this life. And if you go back to the same old thing, this weekend has been a waste of time, a colossal waste of time. Now, that's not to say it's going to be easy. Just go back with your newfound faith and all this experience and everything will be fine. We know that's not true. It's hard work if you're trying to live this new life and to live the way that the Lord has given you in insights that you've gained over these past couple of days. For some of you, you've come to realize the depths of your sin. And you're being challenged to let go of the old sinful habits that keep pulling you down into the gutter. This weekend has opened your eyes to new possibilities that the Lord wants you to live, all things new. But you have to let go of the old habits, the sinfulness. Because only in letting go of what you have, which is so sinful at times, can you receive what the Lord wants to give you, to raise you up, to elevate you to a greater, better way of living life. So how do you break a sinful habit? You have to form a good habit to take its place. It's that simple. If you're trying to get rid of the old, you have to bring in something new that's going to lift you up. It's the battle between vice and virtue. That's what we call it. A bad habit is a vice. A good habit is a virtue. If you want to get rid of the vice, you have to replace it with something good. And in order to do that, you have to have a plan. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the devil does not want you to live a new life. The devil wants to keep you down in the gutter with all the filth and all the slop. And he'll do everything he can to keep you down there. That's his plan. And he will attack you with even stronger temptations if he thinks you're trying to live a new life. And when the devil attacks, you have to be ready with a counterattack. You have to have a spiritual plan. Without that plan, you're fooling yourself, you're going to fail. What does that plan look like? I'm going to mention things and you're going to say, duh. Because it's nothing new. We've been doing this for the past 2,000 years in the church. That plan includes the Eucharist, especially Sunday Mass. And I have said this time and time again. You make a commitment to never miss Mass on Sunday or a holy day. In fact, I'm going to challenge you to go beyond. Look at your week. Pick a day in the middle of the week where your schedule would work to go to an extra Mass during the week. Let the Eucharist elevate you and raise you up to a higher way of living. The Eucharist must be part of your plan. That plan must also include regular confession. Not because we're so bad, but because confession makes us better. It raises us up out of the gutter of our sinfulness. When I stop and I look at my life, Jesus reveals to me those areas that keep me from being the best that I can be in his eyes. And that is what I turn over to Christ in confession. And when I hear those words of absolution, I absolve you of your sins, it elevates me. We're raised out of the gutter. Regular confession must be part of your plan. That's the only way it's going to work. This year we celebrate, as I mentioned on Friday, the 100th anniversary of Our Lady's apparition at Fatima, the Mother of God, who said, "Let it be done unto me." The Mother of God who said, "Do whatever he tells you." She who stood at the cross and was filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, she is our mother. And what mother would turn away from her child? Devotion to Mary, the rosary, must be part of your plan. And when we turn to her, she in turn will elevate us and bring us closer to her Son. And with this threefold plan, God can make all things new in your life. With this plan, we rise up from the gutter, leaving behind the old sinful vices, and we begin to live a life of virtue, ready to receive the good things that God desires to give to each one of us. Again, you're going back to people who may not care what you did this weekend. And there's a very, I think, prevalent mentality in our world. People will try to pull you down and say, "Do what you want. There's no meaning in life. You don't need the church." And to that attitude, the church says loud and clear, you do have a purpose in this world. Your life does hold meaning. The first reading from Isaiah tells us that the rain and the snow, they fulfill God's purpose. They come down from heaven and they water the earth, making it fertile and fruitful. Well, if the rain and the snow can fulfill God's will without even thinking about it, what about each of us? What would happen if all of us collectively made the conscious choice to do God's will as we leave this weekend? In the midst of the weeds, we will bear fruit. That's what would happen. People would say, "You don't need the church. Just be spiritual. You don't need that outdated institution." And that is exactly what the devil wants you to think, that you can do it alone. You don't need others and you don't need the church. And when you buy into that mentality, he has you right where he wants you. It will divide and conquer you, and he will chew you up and spit you out. But when we choose to walk with Christ and his church, we embrace his vision of what this world can be. We become active members of the church with all of its imperfections. We know the imperfections are there. But what happens when we take on his vision? Then life has meaning. Our hands can become his hands. Our hearts can love with his heart. And our lips can speak his words. That is a life worth living. That is a life that has meaning, and that's what the Lord wants to offer to each one of us. We are more than just a collection of cells sucking up oxygen, and there's a very prevalent attitude that says that's all we are, and at the end of our life, we die. And to that, the church says, absolutely not. We're more than that. We're elevated. We are made for more, and Jesus pulls us out of the filth in the gutter. St. Paul reminds us that even our sufferings can lead us to the redemption of our bodies. Why? Because in our sufferings, we bring it to the cross. And the cross is always a privileged place for us to be. So we've been up on the mountain these past couple of days, and now it's time to come down to the mission field. And it's a field that might choke out your newfound faith, or it's a field where you can bear fruit. What's the difference? Make a plan. A plan that includes the Eucharist, confession, and devotion to Our Lady. Execute that plan, be faithful to that plan, and you will bear fruit, and you'll pull yourself out of the gutter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.